I got Game of Thrones vibes from this game a lot, because yes. as soon as you get to the main town, yes. you hear that Queen Regent Dysa, or Disa, or I don't know how to say it, she's the one pulling the strings, and I just had...
Queen Regent... You mean Paradis?
Paradis? Who's Paradis?
Paradis Nuts!
No way. You didn't really just set me up for that, did you? That would be disgusting.
That's I'm so sorry. I'm so
that
sorry.
Is horrible.
And welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
No, I'm so tired.
Well, it's almost getting to the point where it's a stupid question now, right? Because twins equals no, like, continuously. Because
oh, that's
of
right.
Lack of sleep,
one
right?
baby, one yeah. baby equals no sleep. Yep, two babies equals negative sleep. I owe sleep to my bed.
Yeah, it's like a Jack from The Shining, all work and no play.
Yes,
Nick,
yes.
A bad boy. Well, yes, I'm sorry. Well, granted, I can't fix that. Nobody can fix that. You've got the kids. It's going to be.
Did you say all work and no sleep makes Nick a bad boy?
I can't remember. Is that the sentence?
From The Shining, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Oh, dull. That's... Oh, okay.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay. So,
but
sorry.
You've seen The Shining.
I have. I don't remember it verbatim, though, Dan. I've seen a lot of movies. I don't remember all the lines in it. Granted,
that's
I should
true.
Remember
true.
That one. I'll give you.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
I think we've got it on our list for critical cinema sometime.
Of course we have. Of course
we should. Have. All hail the list.
All hail the list.
If you want to listen to us talk about The Shining on critical cinema, subscribe to our Patreon. It's a good Patreon. Anyway, this week we have got something very special.
Yeah, this is super cool.
Very, very, very much. This is the first time we've been a part of a pre-release cycle. And we can only thank Capcom and Gamefinity to be a part of that. So thank you, Capcom
yeah, thank
and
you very
Gamefinity.
Much. This made us feel very special.
Very much, very much. Today, Dave, how about you tell us what did we review?
Today's game that we got to review is a game I'm sure everybody has heard of. It's getting quite a lot of hype out there. It's Dragon's yeah. Dogma 2.
That's right. There's a lot of buzz.
Which is 12 years later from the original Dragon's Dogma 1.
Yes.
Which I was like, whoa. Has it really been 12 years? This has been cooking for 12 years.
That's two generations ago.
Yeah.
This is PS3, Xbox 360.
I can't
era.
Believe that. I know they did a like a remaster, didn't they? Called
Dark Arisen.
That's right, Dark Arisen, where they just kind of cleaned up. I know it had frame rate issues and stuff in the past and all sorts. So yeah, I couldn't believe it was 12 years. The time was obviously going far too quickly. I can picture that on the shelves coming out. I swear it was only like 5 years ago. I must admit, as soon as playing this game, getting into this game, I had to. One thing that was bugging me is I didn't know what the word dogma meant. I love alliteration. I'm like Dragon's Dogma.
It's good.
Cool name, but
you can even go so far as to call it Dragon's Dogma Do.
Yeah, it's true. I do like that. I do like
that. Isn't
that
just domain or realm?
Well, dogma is often used in religions and stuff like that, and like the army and the like. It's a principle or principles of laid down by an authority as which is set as incontrovertible. Versibly as true. There's no argument against it. That's why. So that's what a dogma is. It's an action or principle which it's just, it is what it is. You can't argue against it.
I see. Right? And that's probably why. So you could argue this dragon is dogmatic.
Exactly. That's the whole point, I believe, right? Because, yeah, exactly. So I had to quickly check that up because I didn't want to be playing a game and just be like, okay, wait a minute, I realize I don't know why it's a dogma. What's a dogma? So yeah, everybody who's listening, you just learn with us what that was.
I just learned it. I didn't know. That's cool.
And it
that's
also,
cool.
It's been 12 years and I didn't even know that I've watched the Netflix adaptation. On Netflix,
what do you mean, Netflix adaptation? There's a Netflix adaptation?
There's a Netflix adaptation called Dragon's Dogma, which also didn't seem to click in my head.
Really?
I just put it on, you know, it's I'm a fan of anime or animation of some sort, and I've actually watched it, and I only realized that when taking notes that I'm like, wait a minute, are they the, like, I remember there were dragons and there was a whole aspect to it. Yeah, I was thinking, damn, are they this? Is this the same place? I thought that was kind of cool. God, it all just dawned on me out of nowhere that I actually know some of the lore. I was like, yeah, see, this
is
made
cool. I had no idea there was a Netflix adaptation.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's actually not too bad. It's not the greatest. It's not too bad.
The only exposure I've got to this game is by playing the first one for 15 minutes.
Okay, that's a very short time. It's like
it's an extremely short time. I remember starting the first game. You're immediately put in a cave. You've got a party.
Yeah.
And you're fighting, I think it was just a big tutorial chimera.
Cool. Yeah,
right?
That's always fun.
And then I did the classic climbing on it.
Yes, I know. Oh, it is. So it's one of the greatest
and
features
I thought,
of these
whoa,
games.
Whoa! This is cool. I can climb on the boss? And then I turned off the game and I never played it again.
Yeah, I never played it again. That was enough. That was it peaked early for you and you were like, I'm going to walk away now in case it gets worse.
Yeah. Well, how was I supposed to know it was going to get a sequel dominating the charge 12 years later?
No, it's weird. It review-wise, the first game did get lots of good reviews and stuff. But
yes,
I for some reason can't see it being a super hit. Everybody wasn't talking about it. It had its little it had a following. People did
It did, yes.
I think it
was one of those sleeper cult hits.
Yeah, really was. Right? I think the same,
Like the very first couple of years of Dark Souls. I don't know if you remember
that. No, agreed.
That.
No, I remember Dark Souls coming out.
Very few people would die for Dark Souls.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think the same happened to this game.
No, agreed. It's a good example. There was actually in Japan... Dragon's Dogma was, the original one was so big, they actually did a Dragon's Dogma online.
No, really?
Which had like 2 million subscribers in the first like 6 months. But sadly, what? 4 years later, it just started dropping off and it's no longer in service.
Oh, the servers are shut down.
This was only for the East. I don't think they released it to the West because the East does love a good RPG, dragon aspect type of thing. They do love that stuff over there. So it was far more popular. That sadly died after 4 years.
Were all of them the Arisen?
Sorry?
All 2 million of them?
Yes, they were all, granted, that makes the story a bit complicated, right? No, I'm the Arisen.
No, it's me.
Who is the Arisen? We are the Arisen. I'm trying to think that scene from Guardians of the Galaxy about Gamora.
Why is the Arisen?
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it kind of makes sense. There's a bit in the narrative for Dragon's Dogma 2 that talks about kind of how the different worlds of players are connected.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite common for... how about let's get into the narrative? Because that kind of makes sense in the context for this game.
Just one more little thing. I just wanted to note that the gentleman who made the director who made Dragon's Dogma 1, a gentleman named Hideki Itsuno... He directed this one again, and he's also famous for directing pretty much all of the Devil May Cry series of games.
Whoa, really?
So his babies are like the Devil May Cry, and then Dragon's Dogma, and I know he had his fingers in a couple of older games that aren't really super popular.
That's quite the portfolio.
Yeah, and he came back for this one, or was asked to come back for this one.
Yeah!
He enjoyed making the first one so much.
Can you imagine... being the person responsible for the Devil May Cry and Dragon's Dogma franchise.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing to be. That's pretty swag walking around. Oh, by the way,
it is.
Like Dragon's Dogma, do you like it? That was
yes,
me.
Yes.
Do you like Devil May Cry? That's me too.
Yes. Oh, excuse me. Here comes my huge penis.
Yeah, that's you know, just so you know who I am. I made gaming history with, and he's still going. He's still quite a youngish fella. So. Just thought I'd bring that. Okay, let's jump into narrative then.
Yes, so this narrative, you can see from the box that this game is just trying to be a big, classic, huge fantasy epic.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, that's it. It's not trying to shy away or trying to be something else, or it's trying to be vague about what it is. Alan Wake 2, for example.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what genre that is, except for horror.
Psychological horror, I'd say.
You know exactly what this is. You know what you're getting into. Like Skyrim.
Yeah, everybody, there are lots of comparisons to Skyrim, and yes, it is. It's one of this fundamentally narrative-wise is, here's the story, do it if you want. If not, just go and do what you want. You know,
That's fundamentally fine too.
One of the main aspects of this game is the freedom to do what you want, go where you want, you know, follow the story keys, but if you don't want to, just go check out that cave, go check out that town, go do some stuff.
The story is also quite basic as well. On a very high level, you are the chosen hero.
Of course. The same as the original game. The same premise, I believe, right?
Yes, the Arisen. You're the Arisen. And you're destined to fight the big bad and save the kingdom. That is it.
Fundamentally, it's got some other those fun cliches. Of course, you have amnesia. You can't have a game nowadays where you don't have amnesia. Your memory is missing certain things about your confrontation with the dragon, and there's a whole reverse Dragonheart situation going on. Did you watch the movie Dragonheart? Kevin Costner?
Wait a minute. I watched it years ago, and I remember the dragon sharing a heart.
Yeah, the dragon shared a heart with Kevin Costner, and this way it's kind of like the other way around.
Yes.
He takes the heart and, I don't know, eats it, holds it. I don't know what the dragon's
and proclaims this person as the new Arisen.
Which was cool. It was a cool scene.
Oh, is there a scene where Sean Connery almost gives his heart to the bad guy?
That's very true. That's correct.
Yes! I've seen movies.
Working, yes.
It's Critical Cinema's working.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, if you want to listen to us talk about, what's it, Dragonheart?
Yeah.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
I think there was fundamentally the same story keys of the old one. Taking into account you're the Arisen, you're then kind of like heir to the throne of the Vermund Empire.
Yes.
But in this one, there is already an Arisen. So, who's real?
There can only be one Arisen.
Exactly. Is the usurper. Who's, you know, what's going on? How has this happened?
And that's the story, really. On a deeper level, the story.
You do have, like, weird... I got Game of Thrones vibes from this game a lot. Because as soon as you get to the main town, you hear that Queen Regent Dysa, or Disa, or I don't know how you say it. She's the one pulling the strings, and I just had
Queen Regent. You mean Paradis?
Paradis? Who's Paradis?
Paradis nuts!
No way! You didn't really just set me up for that, did you? That would be disgusting.
That is horrible. I'm like sorry. I apologize.
It had vibes of. I get all these names wrong all the time in Game of Thrones. I want to say. Yeah. Cersei Lannister? I don't know how to say her name.
Cersei Lannister. I'm getting a lot of Cersei Lannister vibes.
Right,
it had
that same vibes, I'm guessing.
Very much.
She's pulling the strings.
Game of Thrones had a big impact romanticizing medieval...
Oh, yes.
Politics, drama politics, right?
Agreed, yeah.
Because Final Fantasy 16 was almost the same thing.
I was going to say, very Game of Thrones-y,
And... it's actually good.
Agreed. Like you say, it is a hot topic now to do the old European medieval bloodthirsty betrayal, shock value. And this game does this too. And greed. Greed is a key story point in here, what people do for money and power and the like. And this does have that story arching through it. It has lots of twists and turns in regards to what's happening. It's not just all copy and paste, like cliches that we were very used to, like, well, she's the queen bitch and that's usurper and somebody hiding and all this other stuff. There's some depth in there that's actually not too bad.
True. I would say, though, that I think a game like this, not that I'm expecting much, much more, but is very much revolving around a plot and not characters.
Yes, agreed. There's actually too many characters, potentially, for you to actually fall in love with one or two or three or something like that. There's tons of people you meet. And the game's got multiple endings, which is always fun for those people who want to do
it's
more
just
than one
such
playthrough.
There's so much here, not only narratively, but in all the other segments as well. There's a lot. There's a lot in this single passage. Package, excuse me. So even if something doesn't strike your fancy, surely a couple of others will.
Oh, definitely. That's It's one of those situations where there's a lot there, and you can choose and pick the ones you like. And and if it, you know, you can go full imagination, can't you? If you're this species and you're dark and devious, you choose the dark and devious type of quests. And
you can do that. You can totally do that, and you can still progress the game as you like.
Yeah, this game is massive. I can't understate that. The size of the things you can do and how long it will take you.
Yeah.
Like, just hours upon hours going in there, like, collecting
it's
things
good
and
stuff
like
and
that.
It's good stuff. I very much think this game, much like the first one, and many other games of this ilk, it's all about the journey and not the destination. Mm. Right.
Agreed. Yes, definitely. Definitely in this type of game. Yeah.
So I think you can beeline to the end, do only the main quests, follow the paths, and you can get to the end in a load of hours. But I mean, you're missing the point. I'd argue.
Yeah, you're just taking the cake without the icing or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's all of it. Dave, you and I were talking a couple of days ago about this game. Not too much, fans. You're not missing out. And we said we almost immediately got lost in this game.
Oh, instantly. Yeah, instantly.
And after I played it, I realized, oh, shit, I'm lost too. Yeah. But then a couple of minutes later, I realized, oh, but that's not a bad thing.
No, that's fundamentally a bit of the point. You're exactly right. You are supposed to. That's the thing Capcom is trying to point out in this game and a lot of the things that we've read and the release papers we've seen. There is no defined way. Get lost. Find somebody. Specify in a certain skill tree if you want to and learn those things. It's designed for you to adventure, not for them to lay out your adventure.
It really is.
Yeah.
There's a map and it's got some icons, but truly the most fun I had was one bit. There's one bit. We can almost use this to segue into visuals if you've not got anything else.
Yeah.
There's a point near before you get to the capital, Vermont.
Yeah.
There's a path. Well, there are loads of paths, but on my way to Vermont, I saw a big round boulder in front of what seemed to be a cave, but I couldn't climb the boulder, and so I tried attacking the boulder. Nothing prompted me to do this.
Yeah, cool.
Eventually destroyed the boulder and me and my pawns set in. And we went into this cave that we found. And my pawns commented on this. And I was thinking, oh, wow. I went off the beaten path. I found a cave closed and I forced my way in.
Yeah, which is funny for me because I don't know about your character, but I made a very small woman just because I thought it would be funny. And those boulders are massive and she could just break them with her feet. I was like, that's right. I like this world. You know, everything is... same. I found some of those boulders and some of the things that are shockingly destructible that you didn't really kind of like, whoa, okay, didn't know that. Oh,
and
go on.
Just some of those and a big boulder that you could... roll down a crevice.
Yes.
To roll over some murlocs.
I actually died that way. I died by goblins rolling down like an Indiana Jones moment. I didn't see it coming, so it just crushed me. It was funny because they won that round. I'll give them credit. They got me that round. That was kind of cool.
Oh, you sneaky goblins! I'm a really big fan of an entire open world that's not holding your hand it's so extremely super obvious where there's a quote-unquote secret.
Yes, very true.
Right?
Yes.
Or a
it's
cave.
Shining or something like that. Yeah,
Skyrim, I like Skyrim. I think it's a lot of fun. Is a victim of exactly this.
Yes,
there's
a
big open plain and then a rock with an entryway and a big large icon and your compass shouting at you. There is a cave right there. Look, look.
That's true.
Games like this, Dragon's Dogma 2, games like Elden Ring, that are actively trying to hide its content. I'm a fan of that. It's going to make me go looking.
Yeah, and a segue into looking. Let's jump into visuals then.
Let's do it.
What Okay, there's one thing. It's going to be very, very silly. You can high-five your teammates. I'm sorry. It's a very weird, and fist bump and stuff like that. And it's a very
That's satisfying. When I like that.
You take down a Minotaur or a Cyclops or something like that. And then they just, you see your teammates put their hand out to the side and you just go, whoosh, and you're like, yeah. I don't know why.
Hell yeah. It was like, gamer.
It's like you're 12 again. It's such a fun little bit to add in there visually.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
It made me smile almost every time.
So, after you get introduced to the porn system and you make your way to Vermont, you can kind of kit yourself out to go on adventures. You make yourself a party, you buy and create everything you need, and then you go adventure. The game doesn't tell you to do this. No. Sorry, what I'm trying to get at is I spawned in a couple of pawns. Sorry, I'm thinking about this now. How the system works is everyone makes a pawn and then your pawn, P-A-W-N, becomes available for every other player in Dragon's Dogma 2.
That's right.
So my pawn is available to anyone else. Dave's pawn is available to anyone else. Mm-hmm. And with everyone's pawns available, you can make yourself a party of four. Your pawn, and two other pawns from someone online.
Yeah, that's great. You can make your own party of pawns.
So I made myself a party. I was a warrior, a fighter. Mm. I got myself a nice lady archer. And then I got a big beastrian warrior.
Yeah,
a tank man.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite party member was a pawn of a very pale gentleman with his red hair gelled up into the air. And he's got three pink stripes all across his face.
By the way, the character creation is quite robust, ladies and gentlemen.
It is quite. But if you're thinking this sounds like David Bowie, you're right.
Did they actually call it David Bowie?
Yes, the mage in my party was David Bowie.
That's so cool. So
I know.
There's so many more inventive people than I am out there that somebody thought, wait a minute.
Great.
I have to make David Bowie. It's the only thing I can do in this game.
I must make David Bowie.
I love that.
It's really excellent. Yeah. I immediately employed David Bowie to be my mage.
Who would?
A big beastrian fighter, lady archer, and the four of us was just hamming it up.
that's so great. Cool.
I was high fiving Bowie, fist bumping Leo.
Good stuff. That's a lot of cool. The other aspects, I know I've played Skyrim, I've played other games with dragons in it. I can't remember what they are right now.
Skyrim.
The dragon in this, the main dragon, I'm sure he has a name. I'm just going to call him Dragon. He actually looks proper creepy and sinister. They've elongated his face and made his features kind of almost human, but dragon at the same time. I thought the dragon was creepy. Creepy as hell.
So you told me this dragon is looking disturbing.
It was
but I've not seen him yet.
You had to have seen him.
No, sorry, at that point. And then, I did see him, and I thought, wow, I must kill this.
Yeah, it's the first time it doesn't look like just generic dragon A, B, C. You know, this actually looks kind of... He looks like a dick. Not physically. He looks like someone you should kill. I don't know what they've done or what they've done to his face, but it's the first time it's not just generic dragon shape. It's really a sinister-looking thing. I presume he's the bad guy. I'm not entirely sure.
Yes, I mean, this is the game's Dragon's Dogma. I'm assuming he is the bad guy. He turns you into the Arisen, which complicates everything.
Of course.
And I don't know how... I would love to know how this game pans out till the very end.
So long. Same. No, it drags you through. Just these little questions that keep coming in your mind, which is good storytelling, fundamentally.
Yes. The dragon looks like a proper baddie, and I think that's cool.
There was just other bits. There was a nice little moments. I know you like doing this in games. You do it far more than I do. You like to stop and look at the scenery and stuff. I know you did it a lot in Elden Ring and stuff like that, that you just stopped. This game prompts you to do it.
Did you notice the statues?
Your party members, you climb a big mountain, or if you go to a lake or something like that, you'll actually hear your party members go, just look at that. you know, sometimes you just got to stop and just appreciate your surroundings. They tell you, and then you kind of go, "Huh? What? Let me just open this chest." And then you turn around and you kind of go, "Wow, that is actually kind of a cool view." He was right.
I've tried to get in the habit of just appreciating things like this more. Even just playing Persona 3 Reload, there's a bit where you're on the tram system and in the background you can see half the sky is filled with a green moon.
Yeah.
I just sat there for 5 minutes looking at this big dumb green moon, but it was good and it was nice and I liked it.
You just like
and
it's the vibes.
Same. It's the same for this game. I would climb a mountain and I would look across the vista and I would think, damn. Video games are cool.
Yeah, and they were spot on. So I just love that somewhere in the programming of the game, they've literally got areas where that voice comes up or one of your party members mentions it. So there's little areas that you can't see, but they're going to tell you to stop and just look and take a moment to take that. And I think that's a really fun little thing to do amongst all stabbing and thieving.
But I like it when games just try to be games.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Right, like
I know
this.
It's a weird thing to say, yeah.
Just make a comment about how good the mountain looks. I'll turn around and I'll look at a mountain. Cool.
Mm.
Thank you, game. This is making me
really
feel warm and fuzzy.
And like,
if you're going to bonk me over the head with microtransactions for a blue gun in Call of Duty, no!
Oh, we've set him up, people. Yeah,
that's not what gaming is supposed to be.
That's very true. Very true.
I called her Jail. If Jail can make a comment about how good this tree is looking, I'm going to high five Jail and say, yes, Jail, it is.
You called your pawn Jail after escaping from a jail.
I did. I called her Jail.
Like, just because it was the thing you saw when you awoke. That was like, I must... It's like what Indians do. Indians, right? They call it first thing they see when their child's born or something like that. That's why they're called Dancing with Wolves. You called, I have made my pawn. I shall call it Jail.
Jail.
Bars. Incarceration. Bars. No, sorry. Did you spell it Jail as in J or... As in G-E-O-L.
No, I spelled it like someone who's never spelled jail before. J-A-L-E.
Ah, oh, you're fun. You're trendy. You're mixing it up there with the names.
So, I really like it when games are trying to just be a good-ass game.
Yes,
and yes, making a comment about how good the game looks and then making me realize, yes, game, you do look good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, did you... Now, ladies and gents, I've actually got a background in the restaurant industry. I've had it done a few years. Did you cook food when you were out camping in this game?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I set up camp and I immediately went to bed.
Yeah, you could cook food with like most computer games. You get a buff, strength, defense. It depends on what food you eat, right? And I swear to you, and I'm not sure... This had me so, so on the edge that the videos when you cook the food could be real. When they
really?
That little, Monster Hunter had that.
Yes,
big,
Monster Hunter World.
You saw the
it gets lauded for its food.
Yeah, great foods, food graphics, and the cats making it looks great on a plate. And there was a lot of times you get skag meat or something. I can't remember what it was, and they put it in a wok and under flame, and you see it, and it's sizzling in the pan. And it's got the fat is rendering on it, and I did it a few times. I'm not sure if that's just amazing graphics or they actually took some molly with a wok and put some cuts of beef in it. You've got to go look at it. It's crazy.
Damn.
It looks real, like proper.
Wow.
Real.
Okay, I'm definitely gonna Capcom. What black magic?
It's weird that I love it. It's weird that they everything else. Oh, we have to make the food hyper realistic. That's our main goal here. We're gonna do
somehow.
A line of food
I don't know how. Capcom's been on an incredible run for the past six or 7 years.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right, they've been making hit. After hit.
Yeah.
the Resident Evil remakes.
Yeah, of course.
Monster Hunter World, Monster Hunter Rise, Devil May Cry 5, maybe not Exo Primal.
Yeah, maybe not so much.
And this now? Dragon's Dogma 2? Capcom? Really?
Like you said, it's a shame.
Impressive.
Everybody who plays the game, seriously, I want to know if that's real food. It bugs me because it looks delicious to start off with, but it looks so real.
if there's anyone who would know, it'd be you.
Yeah, but that's what bugs me more, because I also don't want to find out I've been tricked by super graphics. You know, I swear to you, I walked up to my TV and I looked at it and I kept looking at the fat underneath, and then I looked at the fat of the cut of beef by the looks of things.
Whoa.
And I was thinking, is the top real? Because the bottom look like it was, seriously, it's a weird thing to say, but their graphics with the food is either amazing or it's real video of it. Like, HD video.
Would... I mean, just because of Monster Hunter World, I'd argue that the graphics are just amazing.
Yeah, it really could be. It really could literally, and it makes you hungry. You see real food cooking in front of you, be it even if it's imaginary meat, it still makes you hungry. I was jonesing for some steak after watching them eat it. It was really good. It was surprisingly really detailed. I liked it a lot.
Have some virtual chicken fillet.
Yeah, I actually looked forward to finding other meats to cook. It was all mainly deer and venison and stuff.
Now
I really want
to cook some food.
You should. You should look at it. It's crazy.
Okay, before I get even more hungry.
Yeah.
My final point for visuals is, while all these other things are looking very good, I think the graphical fidelity is quite high.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the game is a bit desaturated.
How so?
I don't think the colors are popping as well as I'd like them to. The forest, everything kind of looks a bit drab, gray and brown, which I know it's how things do be looking like.
I think
would just like for the colors to pop a bit more.
It's one of those things. I was reading an article on the internet somewhere where people pointed out that because PlayStation 5 has been out for a few years now, they're starting to get the build work for the PlayStation 6 and stuff like that. So people aren't really developing the PlayStation 5 engine much anymore, because it'd be moot. It'd be moot because the next generation will be the next one. So I've heard stories that basically what you got on here today for the size of the game is basically as high quality as you can get with everything else in it, audio and stuff like that added to it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I have heard that they're slowly moving on to the next generation, so they're not.
I really hope you're wrong, because we hardly even started.
I know, it feels like we've only just got into the PlayStation 5 good stuff. But
anyway,
yeah,
that's a conversation.
Yeah. Okay, audio then.
On its own. Yes. Wait.
Sorry.
Before we move on to audio, visuals. Apologies. I think the presentation could use some slight work.
Oh, how so?
When you talk outside of cutscenes, when you talk to, let's say, Brandt, for example.
Yeah.
He'll be giving you some very important exposition.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
And it's happened a couple of times. You'll be getting very important exposition, but it had all come across by you standing in front of this NPC, and all that's happening is his mouth is moving.
Oh, yes, that's very true. That's very true. I'm with you.
That's it?
Yeah, there are, like you said, like we said with much other things, you can see where their passion went and where their passion tapered off a bit.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I just wish there'd be, you know, just a bit more presentation done. I'm nitpicking. There are other parts that are exceptional.
Agreed. I had another thing kind of like that same thing. I don't really know how you fix it. Yeah. I noticed that if you had somebody or you were following somebody, it was part of their daily routine, because you have a night and day aspect to this. People move and go to bed and stuff like that. I was following someone and then they just disappeared. So I guess the end of their route had ended. You know, they started from A, got to B, and then maybe they restarted it or something. But I thought that was a bit... I don't know how. I've not seen things like that in, say, the Grand Theft Auto 5. So everyone's got kind of a defined route, or did they just restart or just go in a circle so that they stay moving?
Oh, okay. I would have thought... like Red Dead 2 did that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Those types of game. These people... On one or two occasions, I literally saw them fade into nothingness. And I was like, oh, he's gone. I guess he's back at station A where he started or something. Which was different. Like I said, it's not easily seeable. It's not a big problem, but when somebody just disappears from your game, you kind of lose the immersion that you're in a world and you're reminded you're in a video game.
Definitely.
I know, it's
oh,
nitpicking.
I didn't even notice
it's
that.
Nitpicking, but yeah, it's a thing.
All right, now let's move on to audio.
Go for it.
I think the music is great. The soundtrack really is time appropriate, using instruments from the medieval era in some cases. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. I think that's great. I've got no complaints.
I've got some weird, it's not really sound. I was excited that they used Ian McShane as their narrator.
Ooh,
for the announcement.
That was cool.
I know this is not audio and it's not part of the game. It's the Continental Man. I know he's famous for a lot of other movies. I love Ian McShane and I love the idea that
good.
They got him.
I mean,
to...
I listened to that video and I was listening to his voice and I thought, ooh.
Right?
Ooh, this
really
is a
does,
good voice.
It really does match. He does have one of those voices that does narrating and just medieval stuff so well. Sorry, I wrote it down. I know it's not audio, but I just loved the idea they chose him for it. I just think it was a great...
Of course.
Great
no, hit. That was an excellent decision. It's weird, though, that they would get someone to narrate, but they would still commit to having a silent protagonist.
Yes.
Come
yes,
on.
I know.
Can
right?
we move past?
I know
it,
that is
please.
A bit unnerving. It's
it sucks.
Yeah. I understand there might be things we don't know about it. I don't know if you've got 100 million lines other people speak and you're a protagonist. That means you need 200 million replies depending on what they say to you. I can
I
imagine.
Guess.
But Fallout 4, it's all that always
exactly,
comes to mind, right?
Exactly.
It's an old game and that had tons of lines.
And every single pawn has got comments of
yes.
when you're traveling.
Oh, all the time.
And there are many different voices for those pawns.
Oh, yes, no doubt. Loads of them. Yeah, I noticed that too.
Are they trying to stick to a tradition that the first game had? Because I remember reading the director for this game was so much trying to stick with the original that he was... not offered, but he was kind of... There was an idea floating around to make this game multiplayer, right? That you
I
could party
that.
Up and then you and your three mates could be the party of a
Yeah, I can see that it's got the structure for doing such
exactly.
a thing. Yeah,
and
yeah.
that would sell this game 10 times over, even more.
Mm.
But I was reading that the director shot that down because it would be disingenuous to... the soul of Dragon's Dogma,
yeah,
the
like,
first game they made.
Yeah, it's
not a multiplayer game.
No, true.
We should not be forcing it to be.
No, that's true. You shouldn't try
to
just evolve
it. So it does sound like this
guy
is trying to stick to what Dragon's Dogma is, and what Dragon's Dogma has is a silent protagonist. But it's dumb.
It is annoying because we got so many examples where they don't. Like, even a Baldur's Gate, you're a silent protagonist, which is frustrating for me. Because I agree, I love being able to talk. I love to see the banter actually in real life, not just selecting the line and then hearing the retort to it. There was another thing to me. Now, I am from England, ladies and gents. I'm sure, hopefully, I've still got an accent of some sort where it denotes it. Playing this game, I'm pretty sure they were making up old English words. I'm no expert, I'm not, but I swear they were listing words and I'm thinking, that's not a real word. That can't be a real word. And like, they give you like hast and thou and thee and stuff like that. That's fine. I'm with that. But I swear they're just thinking, oh, I've never felt so abeliated. I'm thinking, what the? That
what
can't
the?
Be a word. Or I'm just completely verstooped. And I'm thinking, no, you... I like Shakespeare. I like building a world around that type of narrative because it's got that whole like old European vibes. It's based on Sicily, the original game was, and I think it comes through the second one too. But I swear they were using words that don't exist. Just to because they used the term. Have you noticed if you're male or female, they still use the word sir as in S-E-R.
S-E-R, that's right.
Which is only actually used in science fiction and fantasy novels because of the ambiguity of cat people and lizard people and bear people and the like. So that's kind of a science fiction made-up word. It does exist. Science fiction has made loads of words that are now in the English dictionary. But yeah. It's not actually seen as a word yet, or at least not that I could find out on the internet or the Oxford Dictionary.
Okay. It's kind of not recognized.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, I thought it was kind of a cool little thing. But I swear they're just, you know, sometimes the language they're using, you just think, what are you trying to say? Maybe it's me. Maybe there are some English literature majors out there or professors or whatever. They'll listen to this and go, wow, that's spot on. What an excellent use of the word.
Oh, good job. Good job.
But for me, even I was getting confused with what these people were trying to say. Were they sad? Were they happy? Were they lonely? I don't know. Well, but it was fun, I suppose. It immerses yourself in all. It gives you that weird isolation. I don't understand the language. Yeah.
It could also be that the language was still so new. People were making up words.
Yes, very true. Very true. And right? Later on in the game, there are actually regional accents and stuff with the way people speak. So that's kind of cool.
This game is so big.
No, they put some interesting things they focused on. So where it works really well.
While I didn't have an issue with the vocabulary of this game, I did have an issue with the actual voice acting. Ooh. Or lack thereof.
Yes, I understand what you mean, yeah.
I think the voice acting is passable in some cases, laughable in others. Near the start of the game, there's a guy you meet who eventually dies in a pond.
Yeah, he does.
But what I couldn't stop laughing. While he was dying in said pond, he was having a leisurely conversation with you.
That's true.
Giving you some exposition.
That's very true.
It's not like he was on his way to die. No, he was mid-attack in this pond. He was being eaten. Busy unaliving, and he was having a leisurely conversation with you, explaining mechanics and exposition.
Well, I do think there was an aspect to that. Am I right in my understanding that pawns also respawn when they die? Because
one of mine did die.
No, but I think as canon of the universe. That sounds like a very big weapon. As canon in regards to this universe, I felt like that's why they had the jail and the quarries, and that the pawns were disposable, because it seemed like they may also not
it
be able to die.
It does seem like it, yes.
Like part of the world. I think that was potentially because he knows he can't die. Granted, I'll give you, he was actually dying quite a nasty death. He must have been in pain. Yeah, agreed. There was something going on there that wasn't particularly pleasant in regards to his death. But no. I do get what you mean. I do, and there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of just very important exposition being passed to you like somebody's reading off a menu.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those situations where there's so much dialogue and so many people involved in the dialogue that you're right, it's hard to keep passionate in regards to doing the voice acting when you've got 700 sentences to say within an hour. I get what you mean. It comes off very flat. The voice acting comes off very flat.
This is when I prefer the way Final Fantasy sort of over-dramatizes things. Yeah. Right? They say a lot of things in Final Fantasy, but you know the most important thing is going to be said and heard with the utmost bombast.
Yeah, no doubt. But they also hired some of the best in the biz. But yeah, agreed.
I mean, this is Capcom. They also have some of the best in the biz.
No, they certainly have the finance for it too. Yeah, it's a weird one that.
And it is just a preference, I'm sure. A lot of people kind of like the realism of, excuse me, a regular conversation.
Agreed. Yes. Did you find your party get annoying after a while? That was one of the biggest problems.
Are you talking about Leo and David Bowie?
True.
And Jail? No, right. I did not.
A lot of people from the first game believe the banter got too repetitive. So in this game, they tried to make sure that the people could say more things, i.e. there's a chest over there. Not all chests hold treasure, you know, and all the other... Lots of people they just kept saying the same thing. So after a few hours or like a few plays, you kind of got bored of what they were saying.
Oh, really?
Did you get bored of your compadres at all?
I did not, because I wasn't just listening for the entertainment. I was I know that when they say these things, it's a clue.
Yeah, they are all important kind of things, what they
say.
So
if they're saying, oh, there's a chest, I would stop and I would look for a chest.
You do that in the real world as well, right? Look, Nick, there's a chest. Where?
Where?
But yeah, some people, it's a hit or miss. I found them a bit annoying after a while.
You did?
I did, but I'm an introvert, so even fake party members kind of get on my nerves after a while.
I see.
But I get it. They were handy. They did point out material locations and chest locations. And
that's it. That's handy. That's a gameplay mechanic.
That is handy. On that note...
Yes, let's do it. Without saying it, segue smoothly.
This is what we, like I said earlier, this is where they put a lot of their eggs in a basket here.
Yes.
Because the gameplay
is
the baby.
Thank goodness they did, because the gameplay for this game, it takes the cake, and it takes the cake hard.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know if this is why the first Dragon's Dogma was also so beloved, but this is definitely going to be why this game is so beloved. The absolute freedom and autonomy you have while playing this game. You can do most things and the game's going to allow it.
Yes, that's exactly right. I agree entirely. It's just the things you can do, and it's almost got that Dungeons & Dragons aspect. If you think you can do it, you probably can, right? In regards to, you know, one of my favorite things this game lets you do is just pick up boulders and throw them at...
Yes!
It's just
and
fun.
It'll do a lot of damage.
Yeah, exactly. And my little archer wasn't very good at fighting, but when she did, she literally did kung fu moves.
Who doesn't?
It's not just a kick or a push away. It was like, and a backflip, like very Lego last and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good.
They polished this up so nicely. This was just...
I'm glad.
This game is built on its gameplay.
It really is. And it also has one of the best gameplay mechanics ever. This is easily the big gameplay mechanic. Not the only one. All of the other ones are good as well. But this one is going to be recognizable to the Dragon's Dogma franchise, and it's when you climb the bosses.
Yeah, which they also used in the Monster Hunter games as well, right? They've been perfecting the climbing the bad guy thing.
I think so.
Monster Hunter, could grapple hook onto the bad guys and stand on their necks and stab them as well. But yeah, sorry, continue. I just know that they are the first place in regards to jumping on monsters, right? This is their thing.
It is so... fun. It's an entirely different feeling when there's a big Medusa creature absolutely destroying the excavation site.
Yeah,
you pick up a sword and you climb onto the Medusa's back and you start slashing away at her neck. Mm-hmm. But it's not like she stands stationary.
No, exactly.
She slithers around the place and you're slithering with her. That feels weird and cool.
No, it was that. You know, later on in the game, there's a great move your fighter can learn. If you call it out or something like that, he boosts you up with a shield. So you run. Oh. You run in. He's got the shield. You jump on the shield. It's like Marvel's and he boosts you up into the air and then you grab the thing by the neck or the head.
I didn't
back.
Know that.
There are so many cool, like, in-game fights or techniques that you can learn that just make you go, hell yeah. High fives all round.
This is what I'm talking about.
No,
it's
no,
all part of the game. When the game can I'm so happy and I'm so glad that this is just in a game and not something that you need to buy for $10 extra in the battle pass.
No, exactly right. That, like I said, this is. I had one great moment. I was taking on something big. There's tons of big monsters in this thing. I think it was the Cyclops. And there's that moment where I was an archer, my boys are going in, kicking his ass, I'm getting healed, everything's going well. Then the Cyclops, like, falls down, it becomes staggered. It's vulnerable. It's your moment. Yes. It's your moment to jump on. This is that bit where you enjoy
it.
Yes. Your whole crew goes in there and you start trying to jump on it. I ran in there, I was pressing the R2 or whatever it was to grab him. And then I was like, yes, it's doing the animation. And then my little woman picked up my fighter and threw it over the shoulder, and then I said no, and then I threw the fighter off the side of a cliff. What? And I was like, whoa. That was insane. It was stupid. It was ridiculous. But I accidentally picked the, and he's massive. Picked him up, tried drop him, but I threw him off the side of a cliff during the fight, and it was just hilarious to me.
That's horrendous.
I was so trying to jump on the Cyclops, and it all went wrong. And that's kind of one of the beautiful things about the combat here.
Definitely. Is that what
goes wrong is also kind of fun. There's so much. I got owned by Minotaurs and all
Could
sorts
not
of things.
Agree more.
It was crazy.
It's very good. Anyone who plays this game, really plays this game, you know what we are talking about. And it is so good and it's a lot of fun. Capcom has once again figured it out. Figured it out.
The gameplay is where they put things. Like, there's little things. Like, there's a crafting system, like most games. But the crafting system depends on if your fruit or meat goes off. You craft different things.
Yes, yes, because it's time sensitive, missions.
That's a clever little thing. Economies. The economies of different islands, places. You start off in Vermund, who has a European-type economy. But when later on, when you go to, I want to say... I thought I wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah.
You go somewhere else, more in the desert, more kind of like dune type feeling. Other resources are super expensive there, like water or fresh fruit. And their economy shows that in regards to selling it. So you could actually be a trader if you wanted to. You could buy certain items from one and sell it to the other. So there's an active economy going in this game, which is weird because it's not really that common a thing. And I loved that little bit.
This game goes so absolutely deep.
Yeah, it does. There's
it goes
a lot
incredibly
there.
Incredibly deep. This is definitely a game. I will say it again in value for money, but if this is the only game you bought in a year, you'd be set.
No, agreed. Even just like, granted, we all start off as fighters, archers, thieves, and mages, but later on, you vocations, I believe they call it in this
game.
That's
right. You get more vocations.
You learn getting better at it. It levels up. You can later become a magic archer, a mystic spearhead, a trickster, a warfarer.
Yes, you can. Seems like you can even fuse vocations.
Yeah, so you earn all this. This is all you.
It's good.
Learning experience. I know it's not an uncommon thing to learn experience in your job class and stuff like that. But there's so, again, that just branches off the type of builds you want to do or where you want to play and what you want to do here and there and everywhere. Oh, it's deep. It's so deep.
We cannot proclaim or emphasize enough how good and deep and vast the gameplay is for this game and how it's good all over. While the narrative might take a slight backseat regarding its presentation and the voice acting or lack thereof, the gameplay, you know, what you'll be doing 90% of the time, that takes center stage, and does so wonderfully.
Oh, God. I lost hours just finding paths, defeating goblins, coming across monsters I couldn't kill yet because they were insane. Tons of your favorite cliched monsters. I can't tell you which one, but you bump into them. I went into a cave. I was like, all right, full of lizard warriors. I was strong enough to take down lizard warriors, and this cave just never stopped going. And then later on, I'm taking on things that are just hugely powerful. And then I bump into a boss. It was insane. But
you're a real mythical creatures, right?
Yes. Literally, the ones you've seen on Jason and the Argonauts.
Not sure if we're allowed to say.
No, but all your favorite things are out there, potentially.
Yes.
They really
Very
are.
Cool. Very cool. I also, I think, did I say how much I like the pawns system?
You mentioned it. It's a very interesting system. I thought it was a very...
It is quite.
Yeah.
So, I stated this earlier. Everyone gets to make a pawn, and then you get to employ other people's pawns to make a party for yourself. It's you, your pawn, and two other pawns. And you can switch them out anytime.
Yeah, you can...
It takes some currency, RC, I think. But you could just... employ other pawns, and they walk around the open world like travelers,
and
like wanderers.
It's in your favor to hire them too, because later on, the pawns you can get are more powerful than the pawns you have now, and they have different classes and vocations and abilities and skills. Kind of like Pokemon, they have hidden abilities. Some of them can pawn your stuff off. Some of them can help you gather more materials or vegetation. Yeah. No,
and
it's,
each one comes with a pawn quest, and if you complete
that was a cool thing. I only realized that later when he said pawn quest, and I didn't give a gift. I didn't really get. There's an aspect where you can, when you borrow somebody's thing, and I guess it's when your PlayStation shut down or you switched off, because you can give them a gift and give them like a review, right? A thumbs up.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, so I gave them nothing and like give no thumbs up, and I was quite sad, whoever that was. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't really look what I was doing. But that's a cool system.
It really is.
Especially if, like I said, I'm an introvert to some degree. And if you got anxiety from going, to go online and do all those games out there, like World of Warcraft or Guild Wars or whatever, or Final Fantasy, this is kind of a nice in-between. You have to do the whole party thing where people talk to you and you are engaged, but you're doing it as like a third-party thing. So I thought it was kind of a nice blend of social, not social. I just thought it was... From my perspective, we all play games where your party members are either quiet or they do one-liners in regards to something. These party members are alive, which is kind of different. I have not played a game where they're actually alive.
It is. I do love it. And no, I've also not played a game that uses a system like this. Mm. It is just good. Yeah. It is good. And I'm starting to like... the innovations that modern gaming is trying to do.
Agreed.
Like the stratagems from Helldivers 2.
Yeah, no, very fun.
The pawn system in this game. Yeah. I'm really liking some of these innovations.
Yeah, you can see the companies that are trying to push the benchmark a bit further to what gaming should be, right? And yeah, this game is one of them. And Capcom is quite good at doing that type of thing in general in regards to just climbing on monsters. We've been playing video games for years. Everybody knows we want to climb on monsters, and Capcom said, "Finally, let's write in the code that we can climb on monsters."
Perfect. Literally, the only other games that can do this is Monster Hunter World, a game owning a franchise, and Shadow of the Colossus, a game owning a console, the PlayStation 2.
Agreed, right? I can't think of any others. I know there's like God of War, but those are all active time events, or whatever you call those.
Maybe, or set pieces,
Or you're climbing a friggin' Titan, which is kind of game level plus climbing.
I just really would like to applaud the absolute freedom that this game gives you to do whatever you like to progress the game.
Yeah, no doubt. I also found that going back to a village, I don't know if I missed quests or new quests came available out of nowhere, but every time I went back to even some of the smaller towns, a new quest came available.
Yes.
Like, did I miss that last time? Or was that person even here last time? There's an aspect of it, the world being kind of alive.
Yes,
maybe
definitely.
Maybe you did meet a new person in this town that wasn't there because they're on their way through or something like that.
It happened twice. I can think of two instances where it happened to me. The first one, I went back to Melv, the town that burnt down from the dragon. You met a man who was looking for his brother, and he said... His brother took the wrong route through the forest. If we can go help him look for him, his brother's
normal. That's right, I did that one.
And then we went deep in the forest.
Right, they're not short quests. That's very true.
We went deep in the forest. We even camped.
Yeah, this isn't one of those little go down there 2 minutes later.
Oh, wait, so you did this one too?
I did, yes. I did do this
one. We're talking about the same mission. You eventually do get his brother, and then you escort them back to Mel.
That's right.
And then when you get back, you think, cool, okay, escort mission done. Thank you. And then he goes on this little monologue where he says he feels he needs to look after his brother ever since their parents' passing.
That's right.
And that he thinks now that he's on the right route, he's safe. But he also wants to leave his brother to make these mistakes for himself, only the mistakes that won't kill him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, whoa, I went back to this town out of my own and I just got a big... a family lesson.
Yeah, you got like a fable, quest? Right? Yeah, let people be free and become who they are, but also like they're try not to be overprotective. Yeah, there was lots. They're actually quite well written. The little quests you got, and I believe there are loads.
Yes, I'd believe you. I think definitely there are tons of these side quests.
Yeah, I really believe
just worthwhile. It's not just fetch quests. Although there was one fetch quest. A little girl asked me to get her a Robrant or something.
That's right, and she doesn't pay you until later when you get to the big town and then you meet her father.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Then you go back to the big town, Vermont, and you walk into it, and she says, hey, it's you. I remember you. Here's your payment. Thanks for doing the thing. And I'm thinking, whoa.
No, it's
this
cool.
game's
no,
good.
No, that's this is where they put their eggs and baskets,
right?
And ducks in a row and all those things. Yeah,
no, this is where I would not be surprised if a lot of people are going to be talking about Dragon's Dogma 2 for years.
Agreed. Yeah, I think they may have the legs for something like that to happen. Like that, this will be played
definitely
for very
has
long
those
time.
Legs.
Yeah, no doubt. Anything else before? Sorry, gameplay wise.
For gameplay, no. Let's move on.
Now, performance, we seem to have had two kind of vastly different situations. I know I've told you about this one. I was playing the game. I lost power into our street. So, you know, the PlayStation shut down and TV shut down. And I was in a mission where I was being chaperoned to the gate. I'm sure you played it. It was quite early mission. The gate to the capital, right? One of the little gates.
Yes.
And then I reloaded my game after the power outage. It came on and my chaperones were gone. And I had to follow them to the gate. That was the premise of, like, he was like, yeah, follow me. And he starts running in front of you. And so now it took me like an hour and a half just to find the gate they were talking about because I'd lost my chaperones. And then the buggers were standing there at the gate waiting for me.
Oh, you tricksters.
Like I said, I think that was it's a very strange set of events to really call that a bug because, you know, it was a hard shutdown and stuff. It annoyed me,
exactly.
But that's all I really had. How about you?
I think, I wouldn't say the same thing happened to me, but the guards who were supposed to be escorting me ran far in front sometimes.
Yeah.
The reason I scored performance a bit lower is I don't think this game's optimized yet. I don't know if they plan on making the frame rate for this game much better, but there were some parts where it really stuttered. It really suffered.
The action sequences or not?
Yes, yes. Half of them is the action sequences, but there are 10 different attacks flying all over the screen at
the
same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially the lightning. The screen would stutter quite hectically. The other one is when you're standing in front of a waterfall.
Oh, yeah, I saw a few.
Yeah, some bridges go past the front of a waterfall, and that just tanks the frame rate. It's not good. But I noticed, okay, maybe this is just a 30 FPS game. I'm fine with that. But then I looked to I saw it's nighttime, and I looked at the stars. And only after looking at the stars for a couple of seconds, I realized, wait a minute. If I look up and there's nothing on screen, all of a sudden the game is a very high frame rate. I wouldn't say 60 FPS, maybe 45, but that's the only time I saw the game run at a high frame rate.
So as soon as you started looking at the foliage and the trees of the forest, you could see it go slower and slower. Like
yes.
You would,
I'm with you. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of the frame rate. I think that still needs to be patched.
Yeah, I agree, because I was just thinking, like you said, you were just saying then, like, you got 10 attacks all at once, and seeing a lot of animated things on screen, and so you can understand that it was a lot of push. But then I do think of, like, Helldivers. If you think that they're on your screen, you've got 50 bugs, you got strategies
coming in, there is
so much happening on that screen, and that runs smoothly.
Yes.
Why would this game not be able to achieve the same as that game, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right, it's a good point. It's a valid thing. I didn't see it too much. You're right, it does happen. There's no doubt. Especially in the boss fights, I saw a definite frame drop in regards to it's doing one of its big AoE attacks or something like that, and your team trying to get out the way. You could definitely see it slow down. But hopefully, like you said, they can patch this out.
They can patch this out to work better. Then in a couple of months, it should not be a problem anymore. I'm hoping for that, and I do think it will happen because we've no reason to doubt Capcom.
No, exactly. They kind of do the right thing most of the time,
generally.
I believe, kind of.
The other issue I had with performance is the climbing mechanic is super janky.
Yes, I agree.
It's very sad saying it.
It makes me sad.
It does. You can climb.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest.
No.
But it's just the inclusion of a climbing mechanic as robust as this.
Again,
it is a pro instead of a con.
Yeah, again, it's something I think it can be patched. I hope so. Because you're right, the amount of times I downed a big enemy and I went to climb on him, but I wasn't obviously at the right angle or bit to climb on, so I was trying to climb, and then the thing got back up again, and I'm thinking, damn it. You know, that was my moment.
All of a sudden, I'm upside down. Oh, now I'm on his elbow.
Yeah, it's fun. It is a lot of fun. And it's, like I said, if you ever get the opportunity, definitely climb on them. Yes. It's the best.
Do it.
But yeah, it is a bit janky. There's no doubt. Yes. But like most games, I know it's not right and fair, but everything needs to be patched out. And this has still got to polish what it is. And they will do that. I don't see why they wouldn't.
No, I'm not also only talking about climbing on bosses, but the environment. There's a lot of rocky surfaces.
Agreed, yes, yeah, they always
and
struggle.
For most games, you can see there are games, there are ledges.
Yes.
The game that does this all the time and it looks horrendous is Uncharted.
Oh, yes.
You'd be in a forest, but you'd see clear ledges that are
obvious.
Waist level, and you just walk and climb on top of it. Mm. This is supposed to be a forest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a disconnect when everything's so
really
clean
is.
And so...
Dragon's
like, well,
Dogma does this much better. It does look like a rocky, untamed forest.
It does, it does. No, agreed. And there seems to be a lot of platforming in the game, right?
Yes.
Like hidden chests and stuff. There were some chests I came across which I just could not get to.
Same.
So I'm guessing later on or something happens to something because there were... And in the city, there are chests like on the roofs which you have to jump, like Assassin's Creed-esque, where you have to jump on this, to jump on that, to jump on that.
Or maybe you could
across.
Do that shield jump move you were talking about.
Yeah,
earlier.
I didn't even think of that because I always thought that was like an attacking
wouldn't
thing,
that just
yeah,
be cool?
Be right. That would be super cool.
Ooh, I want to try that now. anyway, that's it for performance. I had to deduct a couple of points because some stuff are janky and the frame rate suffers.
Okay, value for money. Is this worth the $70 now?
Oh goodness!
Price?
Yes, yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah, I wrote yes too. I didn't say it as enthusiastically as you are, but yeah, agreed, agreed. If you think like. The size of this game, I'm pretty sure, is massive. Even Dragon's Dogma 1 was big. It was a big game.
Truly.
And this
truly.
Is supposed to be four times the map or something like that, I believe. So four times the content to some degree.
Oh, good stuff.
So
it's
a massive game.
If back in the day, there was still this running trend of only getting a game for birthday or Christmas.
Yes, correct. Yeah, we've all been there.
If you would get this and only this for Christmas, it would last you until next time, Christmas or your birthday. It would last you months and months, maybe even years.
Which is rare in the game space now. Just
it definitely is, because if you want a game to last you years or months, you need to buy the battle pass. You need to get all the microtransactions. Do it. Because we want your money.
It's true. No, there's no doubt. Even playing this game, we played it for a good number of hours, especially if you combine them. And we were barely scratching the top. There is so much.
I don't think I even
mystery.
Opened the can.
And we're pretty sure that even though the initial world you go in, there may be other worlds. Because the premise of the pawn system... already denotes there are other worlds. It's kind of the premise.
Yes.
They believe these warriors are coming from other planes of existence and or worlds. So I'm not even entirely sure if it's just these two places.
I would not be surprised.
You can see, like just like when... because we also know Skyrim and we know other games which are massive, you can see the indicators that this game is going to be huge. Just the distance you travel to get to one area and another, all the quests, all the things you can have, all the grinding for certain gear or weapon skills and changing class. This game is huge.
It is colossal.
If you're going to put down $70 on something, this is where you're going to get your bang for your buck.
Yes,
get something there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, granted, I don't think a lot of people's tastes would align to this. If you like football games...
Yeah, of course.
By all means, play football games. If you think you might like this, you would.
Yes, agreed. If you're that so inclined to play the adventure games, be it Skyrim and all the other, you're right. This is definitely down your avenue and definitely. Likes. So yeah, I would go for it. All I've got is positive things to say for value for money. Yeah, games are expensive.
Same
nowadays,
here. I scored this a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, this is worth it.
Regarding the all our other scores for this game, they're all very high. Dragon's Dogma 2 is, I'm anticipating to be a very successful game.
I hope so, because there's been, as we all know, ladies and gentlemen, there's been some just crap coming out lately.
Yes. There's been some bummers.
Yeah, even the Star Wars.
And it rhymes with Schmuicide Schmord.
Yeah, Schmuicide
Schmord. Oh, and the Star Wars Battlefront.
Right,
yes,
yeah, come on. That was like a classic.
The worst.
How do you
come
screw
on.
That up? And they did. They just screwed it so hard.
How? Those games are already made.
I know. I was so upset because those games were, again, part of my childhood. And they really just... obliterated the
No, that is disgusting. That's the exploiting people's
it really
nostalgia
is.
For
it
a
really
quick
is.
Buck.
And that's what I know. It sounds weird, and we keep saying this is what kind of makes the value for money for this game so much better, because we are surrounded by some horrible, horrible exploitive games or bad launches or just no games with no guts to them, just shallow games. And then Capcom in this brings out a game that's kind of like. Of old. I know it's weird to say, but you think,
No, you're right.
Yes,
of old would be the perfect
everybody,
way to describe
Everybody, look at Capcom.
This.
You can still do it. Baldur's Gate, you can still do it. These
you
are the
can.
Games people
you
want.
You can. This is where it's at. But somehow, a very big chunk of the market are stuck at your FCs, your Call of Duties, your Assassin's Creed.
Agreed. It's kind of this miasma of just, like you said, just focusing on money and not the game itself.
Unfortunately, I think even GTA 6 is going to have its fair share of scummy business practices.
I think you might be right, but I kind of hope not. But yeah,
this is
right. I think you might be
right.
I just hope not.
Because that's going to be the be-all, end-all
agreed,
for a
agreed.
Very long time.
That's going to be a sign if that's all full of nasty crap. Yeah, anyway, we digress.
Anyway, our scores for Dragon's Dogma 2, we got them all together. Oh, and we had a nice little customizing session. We gave this one red hair. We gave this one freckles. Ooh, we gave this score just big round shoulders because it's funny. But all of our scores eventually got summoned to another Arisen's world, and they all got together in a big party to form the letter grade rating of B, which is excellent, but lower than I thought it'd get.
It's a little bit, but like you said, I know it's a weird thing, but it's the world we live in now. When this game gets patched, that's going up. That's an A game.
That is
It's just sadly the world we live in now. Games come out with the different PCs everybody's got and all the other things. Yep. They're always going to need a patch.
Yes.
All games are. So at the moment, this is a B. But it's got a... if they do, I'm sure they will patch it. This is definitely going to go up into A tier.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. I also think maybe the voice acting isn't so great. The presentation
That's
can be
true.
Fixed. But this game, when it's patched...
Yeah. This is
easy.
A good time all around.
B plus, A minus.
Agreed.
Also, you shouldn't care about the scores. We don't.
No, we just try
it's
to...
It's not important.
...to guide you to a good time or not. But like you said, it's all subjective. You like this type of game? Sure. If you're a football game player, then it's probably not for you.
Yeah. If you like Critical Arcade, you should subscribe to our Patreon.
Very true.
But thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Critical Arcade podcast. If you'd be so kind, you could leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening this on. We'd appreciate that mightily a lot.
Mightily a lot. Yeah, that's a large amount.
I'm getting my new vocabulary from Dragon's Dogma 2.
I blame Dragon's Dogma 2. Yes, it's destroying it's destroying how you could say words. It's thy words are fallen.
Mayhaps follow us on our social channels on YouTube or Instagram. Or you could find you could catch me on email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com
and I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
Besides, for your email, Dave, where else can we follow you?
Well, I am out and about, but there was a new thing I found out in this game that there's, fundamentally, you go too deep into water, you seem to get this big bloody tentacle monster. That seems...
What is that?
I don't know.
What is that?
but it was shocking, and I swear, sorry, ladies and gents, I swear it's just so because they forgot to put like a swimming animation into it, so they made lore.
No, ladies and gents, you can't swim in this game.
You can't. You can't.
But, you can't. There are tentacles in the pond.
You can go waist high, but if you go to like shoulder height, tentacles. Horrible, like blood, yeah. Purple.
No
tentacles.
Swimming for you.
Yeah, so, by all accounts, that's what will happen. If you come near me, I will.
Such
an odd
decision.
I don't even need a body of water. I'll just use a glass of water. Throw it on you, and then big bloody tentacle things will come
that's
out.
Odd. That's
I think
weird.
Pull you under. Not entirely sure. We'll have to play the game more to find out why. Maybe it's a Dragon's Dogma 1
thing. I guess. I don't. Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if there's just no reason.
Yeah,
the only reason is. They didn't program swimming.
That
in
does
the game.
Feel kind of like that, but it
but
at least,
could just be it.
At least they put something in compared to no. You just
I
can't
guess.
Swim,
I right? guess.
You can't swim, you die.
I guess so.
Right. Anyway, that's what will happen.
Yes, don't follow Dave because you'll be swallowed by unreasonable tentacles that make no sense.
Unreasonable tentacles. I like it. Yeah.
Rather follow us on Patreon. I feel like this is the fourth time I'm saying that to get Critical Cinema, which I think this week. We are reviewing Fight Club.
Yeah, I believe that's the case. Classic film.
If you're a fan of Fight Club, go check us out on Critical Cinema. It's a good movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. One of my faves.
Sorry, great movie. David Fincher knows how to do it. Because I'm kind of a movie connoisseur now.
Yeah, he's a newbie. He's a noob. Whatever terms are for.
Okay, person. Well, if you know so much, Dave, how about you tell us what have we got lined up for next week?
Well, next week's game is, again, we get to go back in time in our time machine to a classic, 1994, so I'm talking like 30 years when I say classic. It's Alone in the Dark 3 for the PlayStation 1.
Yes.
We've already done Alone in the Dark 1. The list, All Hail the List, didn't think we should do the second one. It doesn't.
All Hail the List.
Yeah, pirates. So we've got Alone in the Dark 3, a survival horror game from 1994. Where we got to sort out some cowboys, I believe.
Yes. I know we said we'd be reviewing that. I know we said last week we'd be reviewing that this week. But then Capcom was cool and sent us an early review. So thank you, Capcom. If anyone's listening to this now and you want to listen to Alone in the Dark 3, blame Capcom.
Yeah, it's a good thing. We're happy to blame Capcom. Capcom, keep doing this. Ruin our gaming schedule. It's fine. Like I say, I'm perfectly down with it. But
You can check in next week to listen to us talk about that. And we'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.